train that takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while.
Why?
It's an away game. It's an away game.
I'm coming home soon.
G'day, I'm Irk, and welcome to episode number 6 of Irk to the Penalty Box. IrkToThePenaltyBox.com, bringing you my view of the Australian Ice Hockey League and whatever else is happening in the world of hockey. We are coming up to a great stage of the Australian Ice Hockey League season, but before we get into that, please be upstanding for the Australian National Anthem. What a cracking week in the Australian Ice Hockey League on the 12th and 13th of July. This is episode 6 of Irk to the Penalty Box, IrkToThePenaltyBox.com. And I'm playing around with the format just a little bit this week to see what happens and to bring you lots of great information. I was able to see one game this weekend, the Sydney Ice Dogs versus the Canberra Brave. The CBR Brave in Liverpool. I was also hoping to get to the Newcastle North Stars versus Sydney Ice Dogs game on the Sunday. That didn't happen because of my day job. Although, having said that, if I had the entire weekend off, I would have loved to have been down in Melbourne to see the Sydney Bears on their road trip against both of the Melbourne teams. But as we'll hear, it was a cracking weekend of hockey here on the Australian Ice Hockey League. Lots and lots of fun this week. So let me tell you about the week that was in a very, very brief summary. On Sunday, there were two games, and on Saturday, there were two games as well. The game that I was at was the Sydney Ice Dogs against the CBR Brave. The Brave started really well. The Ice Dogs came back with 4 unanswered goals in the end. And the result was Sydney Ice Dogs 5, CBR Brave 4 at Liverpool. And while that was going on down in Melbourne, the Melbourne Mustangs were playing the Sydney Bears. And it was a total reversal of what happened a couple of weeks ago. The Mustangs recording their first ever shutout, winning 4-0 against the Sydney Bears on Saturday at the Ice House. And on Sunday, we had another couple of games. The Ice Dogs travelled up the M1 motorway to Newcastle to play the Newcastle North Stars. And the Ice Dogs actually weren't leading to start off that game, as happened the previous day. They came back. It was a shootout in the end, and the Ice Dogs picked up their first shootout win of the year, winning 5-4 against the North Stars in the shootout. And in the other game in Melbourne, the Bears against the Melbourne Ice, it was a shooting gallery by the Melbourne Ice. Lots of pew 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 by the Ice, not much pew 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 by the Bears. And well, as I'll talk about in that game, it was a real turkey shoot. 10-1 was the final score in that one. So I'll tell you a little bit about the games on the weekend just gone. I'll tell you a little bit about what happened in, you know, this week, last week, what's coming up, and also what you can expect in the run home to the finals, and how the sales for the finals tickets are going for the finals in Melbourne at the end of August. Oh dear, oh dearie me. What a weekend of hockey. And first of all, let's have a look at the first game that I was at. The Sydney Ice Dogs against the CBR Brave. In the first period, the Brave scored after 30 seconds. The Brave scored after 30 seconds to make it 1-0. And it was 1-0 for a lot of the first period, with the Brave dominating. But the Ice Dogs came back to tie the score up 1-1 at the end of the first period. On the scoreboard at the venue, the Ice Dogs were actually ahead on shots on goal, but the actual official stats had the CBR Brave in the lead, shots at goal 12-8. Goals in the first period to the Brave by Stephen Blunden, and David Dunwoody picked up the first of three goals for the Ice Dogs late in the first period. Four separate penalties in the first period. The CBR Brave had a lot of opportunities for power plays that they didn't take advantage of. Brian Funes for hooking, Tim Nooting for slashing, Paddy Ward for slashing, all by the Ice Dogs, and also Matt Lehensky for hooking for the Brave. Going to the second period, the Brave scored two unanswered goals in the second period. Matt Lehensky picked up a goal, and also Matthew Olietti picked up a goal. The Brave at this particular part of the game, who knows what the score was going to be, 3-1 at the end of the second period. But the third period absolutely exploded. There was a power play goal early in the third period to Stephen Blunden, so he picked up a double. But in the end, the match just exploded. The first four goals of the third period were power play goals. Stephen Blunden for the Brave got the first one, and then after that, a couple of minutes later, David Dunwoody from the Ice Dogs, so he was on a double. Simon Barg picked up the next one a few minutes later, and a couple of minutes after that, Paul Bazzanelli picked up his first goal, and then at the end, the final goal to make it 5-4, David Dunwoody picked up his hat-trick goal. So he picked up a hat-trick on that particular occasion, and he also, apart from his goals and apart from his times in the penalty box, he also picked up an assist. Lots and lots of penalties in the third period. Elbowing, hooking, slashing, interference, kneeing, slashing, cross-checking. And then at the end of the game, there was a rather nasty brawl at the end of the game. That's the second Ice Dogs game I'd seen in a row where a brawl had broken out right at the end, right at the final horn. And in the end, it took a good 2-3 minutes for the Zebras to break that up. The Canberra team, the CBR Brave, were herded off to their dressing room. The Ice Dogs herded off to the other end of the ice. There was no handshake line. And as I've said on social media after that, I don't care who started it, I don't care who finished it, I don't care who participated in it. While the fans loved it, it was certainly ugly. And for the Zebras to decide for safety that there should be no handshake line, that was rather bad. So as a result of that, for the Brave, Stephen Blunden and Harry Byers copped 20-minute game misconducts and also a suspension for the next game. Mitch Bye from the Ice Dogs also picked up a game misconduct for 20 minutes for the same thing, so he was suspended for his following game as well. Some misconducts for 10 minutes to Richard Testrick from the Ice Dogs, Anton Kokkonen from the Brave, Harry Byers from the Brave also picked one up. Mitch Byer also picked up a 5-minute major for a check to the head, and also a 2-minute minor for roughing. Stephen Blunden also got a 5-minute for charging and a 2 minutes for roughing. And unfortunately, that end of that game really marred it, because the Ice Dogs, they started slow, but they didn't give up. And to be able to outshoot Canberra in terms of their result in the third period, 4-1 in the third period, and to come from behind at that stage must be of some concern, but the Brave must put that behind them and they must continue. Shots at goal finished up 36-24 to the Brave. The Brave consistently have shots at goal, 12 for each period. The Ice Dogs 8-6-10 for the period, so they picked up their tempo in the third period, and it was a noticeable difference in the third period compared to the first two. The Brave completed 1 out of 7 of their power plays, and the Ice Dogs had 3 from 7. So they did a relatively good job of converting their power plays. And the next time that these two teams play will be indeed very, very interesting. Looking down to Melbourne and the other game on Saturday, Mustangs 4-0 against the Bears. The Mustangs opened the scoring with 2 goals in the first period, both to Jamie Burke. Shots on goal for the first period, Mustangs 14, Bears 7. And only one penalty in the first period, a 2-minute minor to Fraser Carson for a slash in the first period. The second period was a little bit more quieter in terms of goal scoring. Jamie Burke for the Mustangs picked up his hat-trick with an unassisted goal. Both teams picked up their shots at goal, 19-10 by the Mustangs. And then in the third period, well, it was a 4-0 scoreline, so the Bears didn't score a goal, but the Mustangs did. They picked up their third goal. Adrian Nash picked up a goal, and to make the final result 4-0. Lots of shots at goal at the Sydney Bears end. The Mustangs outshooting the Bears 51-25. And needless to say, it was the start of a rather bad weekend for the Bears. So that wasn't very good for the Bears, but great for the Mustangs. They picked up their very first win, their very first shutout win, I should say, for the season, and for their career, actually, for their history in the Australian Ice Hockey League. So, looking at the Sunday games, the game that I was going to go to, but I couldn't make it in the end. The Sydney Ice Dogs defeated the Newcastle North Stars 5-4 in a shootout, and so that was the first victory in a shootout for the Ice Dogs this year. The first three goals, actually came from the North Stars, so they got themselves off to a good start, with goals to Robert Stark, a power play goal to Jason Chalker and Brian Bales, and then 2 further goals to the Ice Dogs, Shane Southwood and Billy Cliff picking up goals to make the score 3-2 at the end of the first period. Shots on goal, not a lot, 8-4 to the North Stars at the end of the first period. And having a look at the penalties, not many penalties either. Billy Cliff picking up 2 minutes for tripping, for kneeing rather, from the Ice Dogs. The second period, very quiet in terms of scoring, and it was 1-0 to the Ice Dogs for the period, and so we were tied up you know, we were tied up at 3-all at the end of the second period. Shots on goal favouring the Ice Dogs this time, 12-8. One goal to Richard Tesserick in the second period, 4 minutes into the second period. And that would have set up a very, very interesting third and final period. Each team scoring a goal. The Ice Dogs scored the first goal at 14:50. A double for Billy Cliff, and the North Stars picked up a power play goal by Adam Jerick at the 11:56 mark, a power play goal there. So the North Stars were able to convert two of their power plays. The Ice Dogs didn't pick up anything on their only power play. Shots at goal favouring the North Stars in the third period, 15-12, and overall the shots at goal 31-28 towards the North Stars. 4-all at the end of regulation time. The North Stars were unable to convert any of their shots at goal in the shootout. Chris Wilson, Bo Taylor and Brian Bale shot for the North Stars without success, and for the Ice Dogs, Richard Tesserick missed, Simon Barr converted, and Paul Bazzanelli, he missed, but they only needed the one from Simon Barr in the end, and that was the end result. 5-4 to the Ice Dogs in a shootout. And so that would have been a very good game. Actually, if you go to the Newcastle North Stars website and their Facebook page, you can see that game via their YouTube channel, and you can see that game in full, which is something that I must do when I get a little bit of time. So a very successful weekend for the Ice Dogs, picking up 5 out of 6 points for the weekend. Not so good for the North Stars. So looking at the final game, and from a Sydney Bears point of view, I really was unhappy with the results coming in, checking them when I could from my place of employment. The first period absolutely exploded for the Melbourne Ice. I was following along on Twitter, and I was also receiving some updates from my friend Grizz from the Bears at the time, from who was actually at the Ice House, and the Melbourne Ice Twitter account couldn't keep up. At one stage it was 1-0, and then after being 1-0 for ages, Grizz was saying, oh, it's, you know, 4-0, 5-0, and according to the Ice, it was still 1-0. They couldn't keep up. There was just so much action. And so looking at the score sheet there, yeah, it's little wonder. After the fourth goal of the period, there was a switch in goaltender, and indeed there was a switch, and it was rather an important switch. Daniel Palmquist came off after 6 minutes and 1 second after letting four goals through, and Luke Reid, the ever popular Luke Reid, he's been a star of social media this week. Many articles and comments have been made about him, including from me on Hewitt Sports. He actually played almost 44 minutes, and he's had an epic time with the Melbourne Ice supporters. He had an epic time. He had lots of shots. He ended up saving 42 out of 48 shots. So while the goals continued, the goal scoring definitely slowed down. 6-1 at the end of the first period to the Ice. Shots at goal, not surprisingly, very high against the Bears. It was Ice 15-4 after the first period. Things slowed down in the second period. It was 6-1 at the end of the first period. And the second period, the Ice dominated, as you'd expect, with a scoreline this big, 3-0 in the second period. 16-7 the shots at goal for the Ice. And the third period, only one goal. But obviously it was game over well and truly before that point. The Ice won the third period 1-0. Shots at goal for the third period 23-10 to the Ice, and shots at goal in total 54-21 to the Melbourne Ice. So a totally dominating period there for the Ice. It's easy to say that they're back in form because they won 10-0 against the Bears after a bad weekend in Adelaide for them. But we'll have to wait and see what happens next week to see how their form is against different opposition. The scoring summary with 10 goals. There's a lot. The Ice converted half of their power plays, 4 out of 8 power plays. The Bears didn't convert any of their 2 power plays. And you would expect that in this particular game that there was one person who scored a lot of goals, but the Ice managed to spread it around. A power play goal to Jason Bowick started things off. Another goal soon after to Todd Graham. A power play goal to Matt Armstrong. And then another goal to Mitch Humphries. Ross Howe after that. Another power play goal, this time to Tommy Powell. And the Bears got onto the board right at the end of the first period in the shadow of the first Zamboni. Sean Hamilton-Steen, or as I've been calling him, Robo-Steen. Hopefully he hasn't got a target marked on his head, but he got the only goal for the weekend for the Bears. And so 6-1 at the end of the first period. Goals in the second period to Jeremy Brown, Sean Hamilton from the Ice, not to be confused with Sean Hamilton-Steen, and Matt Armstrong in the third period, and in the second period rather. And then in the third period, Tim Johansson picked up a power play goal to see things off for the Ice. So a dominating result there, and that has you totally up to date with what happened last week in the Australian Ice Hockey League. Let's go through in the shadow of the Zamboni and tell you about what's happening with the ladder, and then we will come back and tell you what's happening in relation to next week's games, because there's a lot of games coming up. So let's have a look at the competition ladder at the moment. At the start of the weekend, it was Mustangs 32, Brave 30, Ice 29, Adrenaline 29, Ice Dogs 28, Thunder 22, North Stars 22, and Bears 21. And then we should compare things, because a lot of the results had an interesting bear on, no pun intended there, they had an interesting bearing on the results. So now looking at the ladder, the Mustangs are on top on 35. The Ice Dogs have gone all the way up to second with 33. The Ice down to third. They haven't been that low for a while on 32. The CBR Brave, they complete the top 4 at 30. And then just nipping at their heels are the Adrenaline on 29. After that, there's a little bit more of a gap between the final 3 teams. The North Stars 23, the Thunder 22, and the Bears 21. The North Stars picked up a point because of their shootout loss against the Ice Dogs. The Thunder didn't play, the Adrenaline didn't play, and the Bears didn't win. So that brings you up to date with what has happened over the last week in the results and the ladders.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
Let's hear it from the man behind the wheel. We'll be right back.
for the Zambonis.
When you're on the ice playing hockey, you can't help but work up a stinky smell. So reach for Men in Speed Stick, the only deodorant tough enough for the smelliest game on earth.
Leave your stink at the rink.
Leave your stink at the rink. Leave your stink at the rink. You gotta leave your stink at the rink. Leave your stink at the rink.
Lost my teeth when I blocked that shot. Lost my teeth when I ate that pop.
Lost my teeth when I blocked that shot. Lost my teeth when I ate that pop. Lost my teeth when I blocked that shot. Lost my teeth when I ate that pop. See that thought all over the ice. Stanley Cup was worth the price. And it just was where the best. Other team was really pissed. Now they're gonna lose that cup. All because I blocked that shot. Then it says, welcome back. When I knew a brand new set. Lost my teeth when I blocked that shot. Lost my teeth when I ate that pop. Lost my teeth when I blocked that shot. Lost my teeth when I ate that pop. See that thought all over the ice. Stanley Cup was worth the price. And it just was worth the best. Other team was really pissed. Now they're gonna lose that cup. All because I blocked that shot. Then it says, welcome back.
This is Mr. Beater from Rogers Magnet School, your art teacher, and this is Boom 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 by Matt Turney, Louis Marikin, and Carlos Balasquez.
We're gonna play hockey.
Boom, 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 boom.
And we just might win.
Boom, 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 boom.
We will smear the opponent.
And play, and when we make goals, we say hooray!
Hooray!
We have fun all night, but we never fight, even if our team lost. And we like new people on our team, but we try not to be mean.
Don't be mean.
And once again, it's another night of hockey. Let's go!
Go, 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 go.
Welcome to the second period of episode 6 of Oak to the Penalty Box, oaktothepenaltybox.com. And just having a look at the competition ladder, as I mentioned at the end of the first period, there's a distinctive top 5 now in terms of the finals, the final 4. At the end of the season, there will be playoffs, the 30th and 31st of August. So there we've got the Mustangs 35. The Ice Dogs 33, the Ice 32, the Brave 30 are the top four. And then 1 point behind them are the Adelaide Adrenaline on 29. And then there's a big gap between the North Stars 23, the Thunder 22, and the Bears 21. I dare say that if any of those bottom three teams lose this weekend, They can kiss their finals goodbye, and we'll have a look forward to what's happening this weekend in a range of matches. The Adrenaline and the Thunder come back after having last weekend off. The Melbourne Mustangs play the Newcastle North Stars in Melbourne on Saturday the 19th, 5 p.m. at the Ice House. And the North Stars really need to win this game. I don't think they will. I think the Mustangs, especially at home, will be too strong. The North Stars lately have been playing strong to begin with, but they haven't managed to do that for the whole time. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in that game, but I think the Mustangs will be too strong for that one. Moving up to Canberra, the CBR Brave hosts the Adelaide Adrenaline. That should be a very interesting game, with five playing four, and anything could happen with that one. The Brave will be missing a couple of players because of the suspension from last week's Ice Dogs game. They'll be missing Stephen Blunden and also Harry Byers, so they'll be missing those particular guys. However, I think at home the Brave will be slightly too strong for the Adrenaline, and the Brave have got some sort of momentum because they've continually been playing. The Adrenaline have got a bit of travel to do this weekend. They had last weekend off, and so they might take some time to get into that game if the Brave let them get into that game. But hopefully the Brave will be able to play consistently over the full period of the game and not let the Adrenaline come back like they did against the Ice Dogs last week. I'm sure that they just have to forget about that game now and look forward to this one. Meanwhile, at the Sydney Ice Arena, the Bears return home for the first game that I've seen them at the Sydney Ice Arena since I've been back from overseas. They play the Perth Thunder at 6 p.m. on Saturday night at the Bears Dome, as I've been calling it. And the Bears really need to come back after last week's horrible weekend in Melbourne, 14-1 collectively over two games. The Thunder have obviously a lot of travel to do this weekend with a Sydney doubleheader. With seven playing eight, there'll be a lot of incentive not to finish in last position. I'm hoping the Bears can win, but we'll see what happens. Either team could win this one. I saw one of the games in Perth earlier on in the year. The Thunder came to Sydney while I was away, so it'll be interesting to see that one. So that's Saturday, and then on Sunday, the Bears stay at home and they play the Adelaide Adrenaline. The last time I saw the Adrenaline at the Sydney Ice Arena, they won in a shootout. On paper, they should be too strong for the Bears. It just depends partly on how they go with their travel, how they travelled against the Brave. But I know that the Bears will want to come back after last week's horrible, horrible week. But the Adrenaline will probably be too strong in that one. The North Stars, they will continue their weekend in Melbourne against the Melbourne Ice, 4 p.m. at the Ice House on Sunday afternoon. The Ice should be well and truly too strong for the North Stars in that one. And then the final game of the weekend, the Thunder travel down to Liverpool to play the Sydney Ice Dogs. The Ice Dogs should be too strong for that one, and that should be a good game as well. I'll be at both of the Bears games against the Thunder and the Adrenaline, so if you see me out there, say hi. But that's what's happening. They're the games this week in the Australian Ice Hockey League. So let's have a look and see how your team is going and to see what sort of run they have into the finals at the end of August. So we'll start with the Mustangs. They're on top in first position on 35 points. And as I've mentioned last week, they beat the Sydney Bears 4-0 at home. and Fraser Carson, of course, had their shutout with 25 shots all saved, and Jamie Burke picked up a hat trick. And as I mentioned, the Mustangs host the North Stars on Saturday next week. So their remaining games, they play the North Stars at home this weekend. Then they have an away trip with two games against the Thunder. They then have an away trip to Canberra with two games against the Brave. They have the 4th Melbourne Derby against the Ice. That's a Mustangs home game. Then they play the North Stars again at home. And then the following weekend, they travel up to New South Wales. They play the North Stars away and the Ice Dogs away. So they don't have the best draw in terms of teams that they play. They play the Brave, they play the Ice, and they play the Ice Dogs in terms of finals. But also to their advantage, they play the North Stars 3 times and they play the Thunder twice. And so they should be able to pick up most of those points. They should be able to remain top four in the competition. Where they'll end up on the actual ladder, who knows, but they should be able to remain top four. We then have a look at the Sydney Ice Dogs. They had a great weekend last weekend. They came from behind against the Brave, winning 5-4, and also against the North Stars 5-4 in a shootout. David Dunwoody had a hat trick on Saturday, and Billy Cliff picked up a double on Sunday. And as I mentioned earlier, they play the Thunder on Sunday afternoon at home. So they've now got Robert Molloy back from his suspension. They're just waiting for John Clelo to come back from playing inline hockey. And Mitch Byers should be back as well after his suspension as well. They play the Thunder this week at home. And then they have the Ice at home. They go away to the North Stars. The 4th Battle of Sydney against the Bears at the Bears Dome. They have the Thunder at home, and then an away trip to Perth, 2 games there against the Thunder, and the Mustangs at home to finish up the season. So in terms of people that they're actually playing who are in contention, they've got the Ice and the Mustangs, and they've got 4 games against the Thunder coming up, one against the North Stars and one against the Bears that they should pick up. So they should be well and truly in the top four as well. I can't really see them missing out somewhere in the four after that with their games. They've only got one road trip to Perth remaining, and then they've got a trip up to Newcastle and a trip across to the Sydney Ice Arena. So not much travelling for the Ice Dogs. They're currently in second on 32 points.
Look up at the street sign, heading down the road to London. Look up at the street line, I got to burn. Have a look in my eyes, is that you?
So the Melbourne Ice are on 32 points. They're in third position. They've spent a lot of the year at the top of the, on the top of the ladder. They're currently in third. They had a little bit of a form slump. They got beaten by the Bears, and then they went across to Adelaide. They got beaten twice, one of those times in a shootout, but of course they got the pew 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 on against the Bears. It's hard to really gauge if they're back in form or if that's a sort of a once-off at the moment. And they play the North Stars this week, so it will be interesting to see how they go. Their run home, they've only got one more road trip as well. They play the North Stars at home, the North Stars away, the Ice Dogs away. So that's a New South Wales road trip for them. Then they play 2 home games against the Adrenaline, the 4th Battle of Melbourne. Yeah, we should see if we can get that going, the Battle of Melbourne instead of the Melbourne Derby. So they play the Mustangs. And then they finish up. So they finish up with the North Stars at home and two games against the Thunder at home. So the only time that they really have to travel is the road trip to New South Wales to play the North Stars and the Ice Dogs, because even though it's a Mustangs home game, they're still playing at the Ice House. So yes, they're playing the Ice Dogs, they're playing the Adrenaline twice, they're playing the Mustangs, but they've also got three games against the North Stars and two against the Thunder, so they should well and truly remain top four as well. Going down to fourth position, we have the CBR Brave, who are currently on 30 points in their debut season as the Brave in the Australian Ice Hockey League. And I dare say that there would be a lot of people hoping that Canberra should be in the finals. And indeed, that is a distinct possibility. Last week, of course, they started strong against the Ice Dogs, but they lost 5-4 after allowing four unanswered goals in the last period. And as I mentioned earlier, they'll be missing Harry Byers and Stephen Blunden against the Adrenaline on Saturday. And so they have a little bit of travelling to do at the end. They've got a road trip to Perth, a road trip to Adelaide, and twice up to the Bears Dome. So they have the Adrenaline at home, and then they have their road trip against the Thunder. So two games against the Thunder, a home game against the North Stars, away at the Bears, a doubleheader at home against the Mustangs, away to Adelaide to play two games against the Adrenaline, and finishing with the Bears in Sydney. So in terms of finals, it's going to be interesting, especially between them and the Adrenaline. So they've got the Adrenaline three times, they've got the Mustangs twice, and they've got the Bears a couple of times and the Thunder a couple of times. So I think there'll be a lot of people hoping that Canberra managed to stay in the finals race. The CBR Brave currently in fourth on 30 points. Looking across to Adelaide, who are currently fifth on 29 points. They had last weekend off, and this week they head to Canberra. They play the CBR Brave on Saturday, and Sunday they head up to play the Sydney Bears in Sydney. So they'll be looking for a six-point haul this weekend. And so their run home isn't too bad. They play the Brave away, and then they play the Bears away in Sydney. And then the following weekend, they host the Bears. So they have three games in a row against the Bears. And then they play a doubleheader against the Ice in Melbourne and finish off with two games against the Brave at home. And so this team will be very interesting. They could indeed force someone out of the top four. They're probably the last team that could get into the top four. They've had some good shootout wins this year, so that may have actually saved them from being further down the competition ladder. So it'll be interesting to see how the Adrenaline are going, and you can't rule them out at this stage. So looking down to sixth position, the North Stars have a lot to do if they manage to sneak into the top four, and with the teams above them playing way better hockey, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. They led early against the Ice Dogs last weekend, and they go down to Melbourne to play two games they play the Mustangs first of all on Saturday and the Ice on Sunday. They then have a home game against the Ice, an away game against the Brave, a home game against the Ice Dogs, a home game against the Thunder, a home game against the Bears, an away game or an away series against the Mustangs and then the Ice, and then they finish with the Mustangs away. So they've got a bit of travelling as well. They've got a weekend trip to Melbourne this weekend. They have a couple of... they have a trip to Canberra for a game. And then there's, at the end of the season, they've got two weekends where they'll be down in Melbourne for part or all of that weekend. So lots of North Stars action in Melbourne coming up. But I can't see them progressing much further, even if they do make the semi-finals based on their current form. But having said that, it's a very close competition and anything could happen. But I don't see them in the top four, unfortunately, which for the North Stars is actually a very rare achievement. Then in seventh position, we have the Thunder, and if the North Stars have got a difficult job to do, so have the Perth Thunder. They had the weekend off last weekend. This week, they head to Sydney. They play the Bears on Saturday and the Ice Dogs on Sunday. Possibly 6 points that they won't have. Who knows? They have a lot of work to do, as I said. They host the Brave, the Mustangs and the Ice Dogs at home at what I'm calling the Thunderdome. So to finish up for the Thunder, we have the Bears away and the Ice Dogs away this weekend. Then they have two games against the Brave at home, two games against the Mustangs at home. And then they travel away for the North Stars, away for the Ice Dogs, two games against the Ice Dogs at home and two games away to the Ice to finish up their season. And so when it comes down to top four teams, they play the Ice Dogs four times, they play the Brave twice, they play the Mustangs twice, they play the Ice twice. So they have a horrible run. They've only really got a couple of games against the North Stars and the Bears where they can feel pretty confident that they can pick up some points, but out of all the teams, they've got a very difficult run home too. So to finish up our look at who's got what coming home, we look at the Sydney Bears, last position on 21 points after a promising start to the season. Or as I described it in an article for Hewitt Sports, Melbourne beautiful one weekend, terrible the next. They didn't pick up any points and they had 14 goals scored against them last weekend. So this week, yeah, basically an impossible task. Mathematically still possible, but I don't think that's going to happen. They play the Thunder and the Adrenaline both at home this weekend. The following weekend, they're away to Adelaide for a couple of games. They play the Brave at home, the Ice Dogs at home for the fourth Battle of Sydney. Then they go up to Newcastle for an away game, and then they finish with the CBR Brave at home. Unfortunately, I don't see the Bears getting into the top four. They'll have difficult games against all of the teams. The Thunder and the North Star games will probably be the closest in being able to predict. The Adrenaline, the Brave and the Ice Dogs must really consider themselves chances against the Bears. But we'll see how we go. We'll see how we go. And that gives you a look at the run home. And I'll continue to keep you updated on the run home on Irk to the Penalty Box, irktothepenaltybox.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
Yeah.
welcome to the third period of Irk to the Penalty Box, episode number 6. And that song by the Zambonis, as all the songs have been, that one was called Davey Hattrick. And that one's for our two players this weekend who scored hat-tricks in the Australian Ice Hockey League. Jamie Burke for the Mustangs against the Bears, and also David Dunwoody for the Ice Dogs against the Brave. So just having a look as we finish up my little podcast about the Australian Ice Hockey League for this week, and we have a look at some of the statistics. As I mentioned, the top 5 are Mustangs, Ice Dogs, Ice, Brave and Adrenaline. Who knows what order that is going to finish in. Let's have a look at the scoring leaderboard. Leading the scoring but not playing against the Adrenaline this weekend due to suspension is Stephen Blunden from the Brave, 48 points. Simon Barg picked up some more points over the weekend for the Ice Dogs, 45. Matthew Olietti picked up some more for the Brave as well, 42. David Dunwoody, as I mentioned, picked up a hat-trick over the weekend, 39 points. Anton Kirkkonen from the Brave, 36. Matt Armstrong from the Ice picked up some on the weekend as well for 30. Pat O'Kane, didn't see his name on the scoring list this week, on 30 for the Mustangs. And Chris Wilson from the Newcastle North Stars, also on 30. Now let's have a look at the goalie leaders, and this is worked out on the goals against average. Leading the way is Jaden Pine-Murphy from the Ice at 2.10, followed by Matthew Dugas, who didn't play last weekend, at 2.88, followed by Fraser Carson, who had a shutout against the Bears, 2.98, so that was good for his goals against average. Patrick Pickenin from the CBR Brave, got to see him live for the first time last weekend. Didn't have a lot to do early, but he certainly had a lot to do towards the end, 3.08. Harrison May from the North Stars at 3.24. Peter King from the Adrenaline at 3.27. Tim Nerding from the Sydney Ice Dogs had so much work to do early, 3.33. And Michael James from the Mustangs, 3.63. And out of that list, if you have a look at their save percentages, Jaden Pine-Murphy is above the 90s, as is Matthew Dugas, as is Petri Pickenin, as is Harrison May. But the rest of them are in the high 80s. So that is the goaling and the score, the goaling leaders, really, the scoring leaders and the goalie leaders for the Australian Ice Hockey League. It'll be interesting to see what happens in those particular tables as we continue the remaining parts of the season. So how can you keep up to date with what's happening in the Australian Ice Hockey League? Of course, you can go to the website, theaihl.com. There's links in the show notes, as always. And many of the teams either live tweet or live Facebook their results during the games on the weekends. Some teams have more of a social media presence than others. And of course, the league also has their Twitter and Facebook accounts, and their links on the show notes as always. And then you have people like me who also live tweet as well. So if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at IrkPod. Or the best thing to do, so you can see what a lot of people are doing when they remember to use the hashtag and that sort of thing to follow what's happening on Twitter. If you use the hashtag AIHL, Australian Ice Hockey League, if you follow that hashtag, you'll be able to follow what happens. And on Saturday, I was at the game between the Ice Dogs and the Brave, and so I was able to see what was going on there live, and I was able to keep up to date. Every so often, I'd have a look and see how the Bears were going against the Mustangs. And then on Sunday, I was at my place of employment, and so in between doing what I was doing, I was able to glance at the scores between the Ice and the Bears. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people at the Ice House, the Melbourne Ice account included, started off, they reported the first goal, and then there wasn't a lot for the rest of the first period. So we went from 1-0 to 6-1 or 6-0 basically, and I know there was a lot of goal scoring there and things like that, and I know how hard it is to live tweet hockey games because I do that. And I know that when I was live tweeting at the Ice House, I didn't have a lot of reception, so that was difficult. But the Ice account, to their credit, at least they said, hey, look, there's been a lot of scoring action, we haven't been able to keep up. And if you have a look at the actual times of the goals, and depending on how the person is getting the message out there, if they are doing Facebook and Twitter at the same time and trying to update both or whatever they're doing, or if it's one person trying to do everything and also try and watch the game, I can understand how people sometimes they can't catch up. If you have a look at the first period against the Bears on Sunday, the first period, there's 15 minutes. The first goal was at 12 minutes 30. The second goal was at 10 minutes 12. And then at 9:24, 8:59. So there was four goals, within that 6-minute period. And then after that, Daniel Palmquist from the Bears was substituted for Luke Reid. And then you've got further goals at 3 minutes 40, 1 minute 48 for the Ice, and then right at the death, Robesteen got one at 17 seconds to go in the period. And then as well, if you're also trying to live tweet the penalties, there was a few penalties dished out as well because of people going on power plays and whatnot. At 12:49, 9:45, 6:46, 3:03. There was two at 3:03. And so you can imagine if you were tweeting, there was a lot of penalties and a lot of goals to tweet. And having a look at the third, period, for instance, there were two penalties at 15:34, another one at 13:16, or actually another couple at 13:16 for various offences. And then you've got 8:21, 6:18, 2:41, 1:48, and right at the end of the game. So you can imagine if you're trying to live tweet all that, it can be very difficult. And one thing that didn't happen last week, due to the International Series in Perth, the ATC production guys who usually stream all of the games at the Ice House for the Mustangs and the Ice, they were over in Perth. So there was no streaming of the Mustangs or the Ice games in Melbourne. So even if the Ice had, for instance, the Ice or whatever, and I know I've done this, I've tweeted off a live stream before, and, that wasn't an option. So whoever was at the game had to live tweet. And I can understand, given all those times, how people can fall behind in it. Can partly depend on your connection. It can partly depend on what's happening. You could be in the middle of typing something and something else happens. Depends on the amount of detail that you go in. It also depends on if you're trying to interact with other people at the same time, what platforms you're using. Are you trying to alternate between Twitter and Facebook? And that's where a social media team like the Mustangs do it so well. They have people for Facebook who look after Facebook pretty much exclusively. They have people for Twitter who look after Twitter. They have people who look after Instagram. So in that case, whoever's doing Twitter, they can concentrate on Twitter and the live tweeting. Whoever's concentrating on Facebook can concentrate on Facebook. Whoever's doing Instagram can do Instagram. And there's, not necessarily the one person doing it all season and burning themselves out. There's, you know, there's more than one person, for instance, doing the Twitter. There's more than one person doing the Facebook, the Instagram, and all of the other social media and media work that that goes on. And the Mustangs are doing it right. Some of the other teams have a fair way to go. And all of this, of course, is done by volunteers. And so, you know, anything that I can do to help promote the sport and other people doing this, so many people out there are trying to spread awareness of the Australian Ice Hockey League, and this is one example. So if you have skills in that area and you know the game, and or if you've got skills in other areas that you want to help your club or the club nearest you or whoever, get in contact with them, because many hands make light work. So let's have a look at the international series that is currently going on in Australia at the moment between the US and also Canada. They're going for the Douglas Weber Cup. There's been two games in Perth so far, the 11th and 12th of July. This weekend, there's one game on Saturday night in Brisbane on July 19 at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre. And then the following weekend, there's two games. There's one in Melbourne on the 25th at the Rod Laver Arena, and one game in Sydney, which I'll be at All Fans Arena. And it will be interesting in trying to tell this to people. I know I've had some people over the last couple of weeks ask me about this particular series, and, you know, I've referred them to the website, and I've warned them, you know, tickets basically start at $79 a pop. But you are getting basically the equivalent. It's not totally like an NHL game or an NHL experience, but you are getting pretty much as close to an NHL experience that you can get in Australia at the moment. You know, it's big stadiums, big arenas, you know, the production, temporary ice facilities and everything like that. So there is a massive difference between what we're seeing here in the Australian Ice Hockey League. But then again, for $79, you know, and that's for the cheapest seats. For what I've paid for a ticket, $149, at some clubs you can almost buy a season membership in the Australian Ice Hockey League. But I want to go to this one. I want to see what it's like. And as I said, this will be the biggest hockey game that I've been to in terms of supporters and everything like that there. You know, I've been in crowds of up to 10,000 at the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Hockey League, but to see all of these people in Australia will be very interesting. The competition or the series have been trying to promote the Australian Ice Hockey League as well. We've had two games in Perth. The Thunder have been doing a lot of work there. There's more games in Melbourne and Sydney where the Australian Ice Hockey League has a presence. There's no presence in the Australian Ice Hockey League at the moment in Brisbane. You know, there have been teams in Brisbane and on the Gold Coast before, but that's not currently the case. So you can see what's happening there. But if I go to the website internationalicehockey.com.au, and I want to keep up to date with what happened on the weekend in Perth, I can't do it. I can't do it. There's a game schedule which tells me that tickets are on sale for both Perth games. Okay, that game's gone. So why would I want to get tickets for it? Okay, I can get tickets in Brisbane, tickets in Melbourne and tickets in Sydney. Those games are coming up. That's fine. But when it comes down to what actually happened in Perth on the weekend from this series, going to the official website of the series, I cannot tell you what happened. I can't tell you that Canada won both games in Perth because there is nothing here. On the front page, it says Australia 2014, USA and Canada will battle it out in an exhibition ice hockey series in July 14. The teams that are compiled of players from professional North American leagues will showcase the infamous rivalry between the two great nations in Australia's biggest indoor arenas. Now that's awesome, but I can't tell you who won. If I go over to the right-hand side of the page, news and testimonials. I can tell you that Andrew Gordon replaces Kyle Quincy as the Canadian captain from July 2nd. Or I can tell you that the goalies have been announced from US and Canada on June 27. And there's a spiel from a guy called Kevin Harvey. But in terms of what actually happened, I can't tell you. Like, if I want to, I can watch the official event trailer, that's fine. There's an auction for Stop Concussions, which is a cause to try and reduce concussions in ice hockey. And so they're a major partner of this particular competition, that's fine. I can have a look at 2014 merchandise that I can no longer get online, but I can possibly get at the game. And of course, I can look at the 2014 Australian Ice Hockey League schedule, which is great. But 2014 merchandise, I can't see it on this website. They did have online orders before, but I can't actually see what this merchandise is going to be. They have jerseys, t-shirts, scarves, caps, flags, pucks, foam fingers and programs. I can see that. I can get that. But I can't actually have a look at the merchandise beforehand and think, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind one of those pucks, or I wouldn't mind that Canadian jersey or whatever. I can't do that. And I can't find out what happened. Even let's have a look at their Facebook page. Let's see if I can tell you what's happening there. Okay, they're in Brisbane. There's a news report. There's a news report from Brisbane how they're setting up the rink. That's fine. There's an awesome photo of how great Perth Arena looked over the weekend. That was awesome. There's a photo about how they're transforming the Brisbane Entertainment Centre into an ice hockey venue. You know, that's great. Let's have a look a little bit further down. Okay, there's more photos of ice production in Brisbane. That's awesome. And more photos about how they're starting to build the rink. That's cool. There's a 360-degree image of the arena, so you can tag yourself. You know, that's cool. There's some photos of some of the players at an Australian Rules game. That's cool. There's information about a meet and greet that was held. Okay, looking at the last tweet about the game, or the last Facebook message about the game, the crowd's gone wild on the ref's decision to call no goal yet award a penalty shot. Score stays at 5-1 with 6 minutes to go in the final period. So let's have a look in that thread. Let's see previous comments. People are talking about some advantage. They haven't mentioned in that update about who is actually winning. It just says the score stays at 5-1. And then 6-1. Don't mention who. Someone else has actually had to mention it. So, yeah, it's very interesting to see. You might think that you know, the Australian Ice Hockey League, you know, might not be doing certain things right in terms of social media or updates or, you know, content or whatever. But if you have a look at this international series, and as I said, I'm looking forward to going, looking forward for all the productions, but actually finding out what happened last weekend from the official website and from their Facebook page, I can't actually do it, which is a massive shame. So to finish up, our music in between the periods, as always, was brought to you by the Zambonis, and I've had some issues at the Channel X studio this week. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, I can work on actually having a chat to one of the band members from the Zambonis and find out why they formed, how they formed, what issues they've had with their name, and also they are actually having a gig with a similar group who do baseball songs. So, Dave, I'll be in contact with you over the next couple of weeks and take you up on your offer to have you on the show as a special guest. I've been thinking about the content and also interviews, getting information from games and all of that sort of stuff, and sound bites from games that I'm not at and whatnot. And so this is a work in progress. It's one guy, me, giving my opinions on what's going on and from what games I've been at, etc. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Format's been a little bit different this week. And our music that we've been hearing in between the periods comes to you from Tensions Arise. They are an independent unsigned metal band from Sydney. This year they have toured Japan and they've also played in the US. And so we're going to hear some songs for them to finish up the episode. We're going to hear Welcome to Sin City, Maniac, and In the Eye of Fire. I'm Erk, you've been wonderful. If you are at a game this weekend, have fun. Hope to see people at the Bears game this weekend. It is going to be cool. It's going to be cool to be back at home, that's for sure. And I'll see you next week. Don't forget, keep out of the penalty box. Keep your stick on the ice. I'm Erk. Thanks for listening. Erk to the penalty box.com. See you next week.